started in here.
Question: whether or not it's going to be a lovely day.
Oh, it's going to be a great day.
Well, it's lovely seeing you, Sam.
Thank you.
Justice and Drew.
I think the same thing when I look in the mirror every morning.
Me too.
You call yourself Sam?
No. I just say it's lovely to see you this morning, John.
Oh.
Glad to see you made it through the night.
Good job.
Bags under the eyes and all. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. Without a Drew this morning.
Yep.
Omicron walls are closing in.
You can't say that. You don't know this.
Of course not. I don't know. We don't know. Okay. I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
If I were a betting man, if I were Drew, because I don't gamble.
But Drew does.
Right, but Drew does. If I were a betting man, you know, I think the Omicron walls are closing in. So he woke up this morning and has got a bit of the sniffles and was just... out of an abundance of caution, was like, you know what? If we both go down, that's not good. So why don't you stay home? That's probably the best bet at this point in time. So praying it's not Omicron, or you know, if it is and it's simply what everybody is dealing with, you know, then you know, all the better. If it happens to be, and it's not just Drew, I have no idea. Drew is just, he's feeling fine. He's got the sniffles.
Yeah.
You know, and just again, out of an abundance of caution, got to do the right thing, until he feels better. But he's not the only one. I mean, there's several people within the building, who are out on our sister station. And I mentioned this, yesterday that, you know, listening to just a lot of other content, there's a common theme of people saying it feels like everybody that you know is getting COVID. And I actually heard that quite a bit before vacation. And I was like, well, I haven't really personally like experienced that, right? But then again, you know, apart from the listeners and you guys, I don't really know anybody else. But now that the new year is here, it certainly is becoming, you know, the case. Now, you know, Drew aside, you know, I have no idea what's going on there. So he's just, again, just out of an abundance of caution. But people next door in the studio, you know, on our sister station, you know, they're out. My dad and stepmom, you know, I mean, they're in California, but they got it. And it's just, yeah. And there's a story we'll get to a little bit later on. I don't know. I know it was one of your potential top fives where more and more experts are coming out and saying that Omicron is burning through the country so quickly now that
wildfire.
Yeah, that you know, we're going to be through this relatively quickly. And something we touched upon on the show yesterday, which I actually heard the hosts on Fox News in the drive-in. I popped on for just a few minutes, and they mentioned something we talked about yesterday, and that is that there seems to be this adoption on the left now that many people on the right had already taken a long time ago. And this isn't necessarily even a dig on those on the left per se, but it is just to say a coming to reality of people are understanding now that they want to live with this. You know, I think the Democrats tried to run and they successfully ran on COVID, you know, obviously in the election. And certainly last year, as well. But leading up to the election and the lockdowns, and especially in your left, you know, leaning states with you know, Democrat leadership or DFL leadership. But now it turns out that I think people are sick and tired of it, and they're beginning to see the reality of what we're faced with, and that is we're going to have to live with this thing. And so much of what has been said on the right now since you know, after we kind of got a grip on what we were dealing with has come to fruition. COVID's not going away. These vaccines are not, you know, don't keep you from getting it. They just keep, you know, keep you from getting harsher symptoms because of it. Pfizer, the head of Pfizer came out yesterday and said they're going to have an Omicron vaccine by like March.
Yeah, and I was like, of course they will.
But by then, you know, I'm kind of under the impression that by then we're going to be, it's going to mostly have burned through the country and most people will have antibodies by then. Yep. But it's funny what he said about the Omicron was he was saying that the Omicron vaccine would actually be one where it could potentially prevent you from getting it.
Well, by then everyone will have had it.
I know it just doesn't, it's irrelevant. But all the polls right now across the board are saying that everybody, left, right, doesn't matter. They're more concerned about inflation. They're more concerned about the economy. And they are way less concerned about COVID at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And I think it largely has to do with the fact that Omicron is spreading so rapidly. It doesn't seem like there's much that you can do to avoid it, which makes the shutting down of schools and mask mandates at this point in time just almost completely irrelevant. People are beginning to understand that we're just going to have to end up living with this thing. And it's never going away either. I mean, it's going to end up becoming something that'll most likely, I was thinking about it this morning, most likely is going to be something like a seasonal flu. You know, where you're going to, you know, hey, it's COVID season again, and it'll probably be the Omicron variant or another variant that will most likely be even, you know, less detrimental to your health than what Omicron is, you know. So mm-hmm. It's just, what a crazy ride we've been on, man.
I know.
it's just
never ends.
Well, and it feels like, you know, and again, mentioned this yesterday, but it feels right now, it feels a lot like it did back in like March of 2020 when everything was being shut down. But yep. It seems so futile at this point in time to start doing that, because there's no stopping this variant at this point.
There's tons of events and everything right now that are in schools and everything that are have things postponed or aren't holding or are being rescheduled or are not being held, and it does feel like the spring of whatever, like 2020, or it seems like every now spring yeah. We're gonna have COVID shutdowns.
Well, and they're pushing policy for the sake of policy's sake. You know, and that's the real problem right now, is that there still is this sort of knee-jerk default reaction to move towards shutting an event down or yep. towards, you know, having mask mandates without looking, again, without actually looking at the science going, look, you can shut it down and keep people from getting it, but if they're not going to get it at your convention, they're going to go and get it someplace else.
Yep.
You're kind of delaying the inevitable. That isn't to say that you shouldn't do, you know, what you can to try to not get it. I mean, I know I do. I know the masks are ineffective, but I went to the grocery store yesterday and was just very aware of the people around me. Although it was fascinating because I went into Cub yesterday and I just, again, it's one of those circumstances where it's on my mind. So maybe I'm just more aware and it wasn't necessarily a change of the reality. But when I went into Cub yesterday and it was late in the afternoon, it was, you know, minorly busy. But there was like hardly anybody wearing masks.
I went to Whole Foods yesterday and they're requiring masks when you go
in. So they're requiring masks.
Or like strongly encouraging. The sign says, please wear a mask.
See, I was surprised yesterday because I walked in looking around and I go, like, there's nobody in here wearing a mask. Now, again, I live in Blaine, you know, so maybe it's a Blaine thing.
Yeah, well, you don't see that in Buffalo.
You know, perhaps. I don't know. But I just remember walking around going, wow, it's like I'm like not seeing anybody in mass. All right, whatever. You know, as I went in to go get my mac and cheese. On the show this morning, we do have several guests joining us. Pete Hegseth from Fox News will be on with us right around 8:35. The ratings are in for the January 6th extravaganza.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not good.
People didn't want a sequel.
Apparently, people were not all that interested in a recap of how the left wanted to portray what they say doing that thing with my fingers is the insurrection day.
People are so over it.
Well, I don't think the left realizes that. It's all they have. That's all the left has when it comes to the midterm elections. Kevin Roche from The Healthy Skeptic, you know, our resident COVID expert. He's got a brand new piece out, again, talking about the testing. And his thoughts about whether or not we should be doing testing. And spoiler alert, he thinks that we shouldn't be doing so much testing. We'll talk to him right around 8 o'clock. Also open up the phone lines for your phone calls for him. And then a University of Minnesota a student. There's a protest being planned in the wake of the mandates of the University of Minnesota and the students there unable to go and complete some of the courses and projects that they've been working on, right? The whole reason why they went to college in the first place because of these mandates. Lucius Laframboise, which I'm probably butchering.
I think you did a great job.
Laframboise. Or bourgeois. Well, Lucius will be joining us at 7 o'clock this morning. So we'll give you details on that protest, where it's going to take place and what exactly it completely entails. The phone number is 651-989-5855. Use that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. We have a Demi Lovato update.
Oh.
I like talking about Demi Lovato.
Why?
Because she's a freak of nature. And I find her entertaining from that aspect. Okay. But she was back in rehab. Yeah, and there's
she's trying.
And there's more to it. So we'll give you a bit of that. You don't want to miss it. You can get a preview on the Justice and Drew page at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Plus, we will dive into Sam's top five coming up, including the big news yesterday with the changes with the Minnesota Vikings. It's all on the way here on Justice and Drew.
Five.
Justice and Drew on Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM. You can listen on the iHeartRadio app on your smart speakers at home. Catch up on the post-show podcasts if you miss any portion of the show. Lucius Laframboise. Sure. He's a University of Minnesota student and will be joining us at 7 o'clock this morning. Wants to get the word out with regard to a protest that they are going to be conducting very soon. Reached out to us, works at UMD for chemical engineering. The university will not allow me and many other students to continue our education that we've worked toward unless we forego our principles and comply with an unethical policy. And this is the vaccine, mandates. And again, like we've been talking about, at this point in time, it's irrelevant. They're not looking at the science anymore with this. You know, I understand if somebody's sick, right? They shouldn't go into work. If they're sick, they shouldn't be going into school. You need to take care of yourself. But at this time, it's been proven that the dominant variants, 95% of all the cases in the country right now, and that was a stat that came out like over a couple of weeks ago. Who knows if that's, I assume that's probably gone up by now, is the Omicron variant. And for the vast majority of people, if you're not dealing with other major underlying health issues or you're not elderly, it is more like a common cold or perhaps leaning more towards a flu. And the reason for that is, for those that that haven't heard or sort of understand, I guess the Omicron variant, it's sticking, it's more of an upper respiratory now situation than Delta or the previous version. It's not going down into the lungs the way that the original versions did. So that's what was causing the vast majority of the problems. It's sticking in the upper respiratory tract, in your nose,
right,
in your throat. But that's also why it's more contagious, because you're still getting it and it's not moving down, but it's kind of hanging out in the area where it can kind of go out and get everybody. Right. So, you know, and I was reading a story the other day, and I don't know if it was proven or not, but some of the experts were saying that, you know, all it takes is, you know, you walk by somebody and like a huff from somebody and you can catch it that way. So, which would explain why so many people are getting it right now. So we'll talk with Lucius coming up at 7 o'clock, this morning. Then we have some audio from Joe Biden at 7:35. Went to talk about the individuals in Colorado who were victims of that horrible fire and decided to discuss windmills.
What?
Yeah, Joe Biden acts every bit of an individual who is trying to act like he's president. Because that's what he sounds like. He sounds like a person who's trying to sound like he's president rather than somebody who was genuinely...
That's actually a really good way to put it.
The president.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a shell, man. He's just a shell of a human being.
It's an empty skin suit.
Before we get into Sam's Top 5, really quick, I like me some Demi Lovato news. Musical artist, personality, host of the Unidentified UFO Show, which I think has already been canceled. Apparently, she was in rehab, so I don't know if she's filmed any episodes other than that. She's got a new tattoo where a mane of her hair used to be.
What?
So the former Disney Channel star showed off the new ink following a reported rehab stint, which was mostly kept quiet in the media. She ended up back in rehab again, but she didn't tell anybody. The changes come just after the celebrity made headlines for a multitude of reasons, coming out as non-binary, to a previous dramatic haircut. And, of course, as we mentioned, that her host of the Unidentified UFO show. Lovato showed off the latest tattoo, which is one of many, in a string of Instagram stories over the weekend. The 29-year-old singer selected a large spider image as her skull adornment. Which was clearly visible now that Lovato has a shaved head. So it's on the side of her head, the side of her head shaved. If you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, the Justice and Drew page, I put a photo up there for people that want to go and take a look at it. It's one of those really creepy ones where it looks hyper-real. Have you seen those tattoos?
Yeah.
Because most tattoos are more stylized.
Well, you can tell that it's like a drawing.
They're more caricatures, right? Yeah. These are one of those ones that are like kind of hyper-real.
Yeah.
You know, where it actually looks like, you know, actually looks like a spider on her head. It's a bit of a cheat, though. If you grow your hair back out, nobody can see it again. But yeah. I guess that's probably the smarter thing to do.
I wonder if tattoos like that where your hair grows, if it impacts the growth of hair at all.
I wonder if it impacts your brain.
I doubt it. I bet it hurts, though. On the bone.
Demi gave artistic credit to celebrity favorite tattoo artist Dr. Wu. Dr. Wu was also responsible for at least one of Lovato's other tattoos. Besides the new ink, Lovato is reportedly back from a recent stay in a rehab facility. The singer nearly overdosed 3 years ago and has since admitted to staying California sober. I know I hadn't heard about California sober until I read the story.
What is California sober?
California sober means that you indulge in alcohol and marijuana, but nothing else.
Oh,
so you're not really sober.
No,
you're just California sober.
You're just not doing the hard stuff.
Yeah, it's like you know what a California stop is?
No,
a California stop is when you get to a stop sign, but you don't really stop and just roll right through.
Oh, that's just a rolling stop.
I know, but I mean, I think it's probably indicative of where you come from. If you live in Arizona, it's an Arizona stop. If you live in Minnesota, it's a Minnesota stop. But it.
Okay.
We used to talk about it as a California stop. You just roll right through the stop sign. However, Lovato did share with fans that going completely sober is the only logical option going forward. I no longer support my California sober ways. Lovato shared in the Instagram story in December, according to Page Six, sober is the only way to be. After the reported rehab stint to the Instagram update, it's clear Lovato has changed stances on what are acceptable levels of sobriety. I hope the woman gets her life righted.
I know. I hope that she's gotten the adequate help that she needed. Yeah. Good on her for going to rehab when she needed it.
What a mess,
and
man.
I hope that she sticks to it.
Seriously. Well, go check out that tattoo. It's pretty creepy.
It's really... Are you
looking at it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. And it's funny because like she shaved the area where she got the tattoo, but it's not like she shaved her hair into like a hairdo. She didn't shave her whole head. She just like shaved the spot where she got the tattoo.
Right.
So it looks kind of silly.
There was a part of the story, I cut it out. There was a part of the story where she actually addresses her hairstylist and says, now you have to come fix my hair.
Oh, okay.
So
that's fun.
That was a very keen observation on your part, Sam.
Thank you.
651-989-5855. All right, Sam's top five on the way. Coming up, a historic move on the Minneapolis City Council, plus the Hennepin County Attorney has announced a new partnership trying to address all the rising crime. That's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk. One hour from now, here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, we have audio of Joe Biden talking about windmills to Colorado fire survivors.
Why?
Because he's Joe Biden. That's why. Oh. 651-989-5855. We will get into Sam's Top 5, I promise. First off, though, I want to go to the phones. It's a brand new year. First opportunity to talk with a Don, who hails from Burnsville. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. I listened to your little speech on the COVID. I was just wondering if you, to sum it up, would like to just kind of go back to normal.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think normal probably isn't the most appropriate word. I don't think we're ever going to be normal again. But what I mean is that we're at the point now with the way that Omicron is spreading and how contagious it is and how it doesn't seem to matter whether or not you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, apart from the severity of which the virus infects you, then it's time that we move on. We move on with life and we stop with the mandates and allow the public to just protect themselves the way that they best seem fit.
Well, I disagree because the deaths are still over $1,000 a day and our hospitals are full.
Well, the hospitals and the ICUs are actually going down. That was reported as of this week. And it actually turns out that the vast majority of individuals that are in the, not, okay, let me rephrase. Let me get this right. Not the vast majority, but well over half of the individuals that are actually crowding the hospitals are not in the hospitals directly because of COVID. And the CDC is actually coming out and revising a vast majority of these numbers now to provide clarity that while they have been counting people with COVID in the hospital as the total number, that's not actually indicative of the specific reason why those individuals ended up in the hospital. But at the same time, Don, there's going to be no avoiding it at this point. I understand what you're saying. But the way that Omicron is spreading and how contagious it is, like we said, and how so many people are getting infected, and the experts will find out here in Sam's Top 5 are even saying that, you know, in a matter of 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to be on the backside of this and you'll see the trends go down. That we're really just, we have to just ride it out at this point in time. And I'm an individual that thinks that people should, you know, that people should get vaccinated. If somebody doesn't want to, that's their choice. And I completely support that choice. But I've been vaccinated and I've been boosted and I feel like it's safe. And I think if people want to protect themselves in the best possible way so they don't get, you know, too sick, they should get vaccinated. But I absolutely respect the choice of people who decide they don't want to get vaccinated, regardless of what the reason is.
So you still don't think there should be any restrictions on cruise ships or airlines?
I think that's up for the airlines and the cruise ships to decide on their own. I mean, those are, with the airlines, that's a whole different ballgame. We have not shown at all any proof whatsoever of COVID. I don't know about Omicron spreading on the airlines. We do know that masks are not effective. And cruise ships have to decide what's best for their own customers. And customers can decide how they want to, if they want to go on those cruises or not. But the bottom line is, again, you're looking at private entities as opposed to government mandates. I have no problem with a company or a business deciding what they want to do because the public has an option of whether they want to go and use those services. What I do have a problem with is the government and leadership stepping in and mandating that businesses go and do that. This should be left up to the business and then left up to the consumer to decide if they want to go and frequent those businesses.
Just one other last thing. Now, the government involves school children. How do you feel about that? Do you feel safe sending your children into school with no restrictions?
I do send my kid to school. My son Kyle, my oldest is graduated, but my son Kyle goes to school every day. He also has been vaccinated, and we also know that children are not nearly at risk of serious illness when it comes to COVID, even the original version of COVID, and certainly not when it comes to the Omicron version. So yes, to answer your question in a long way, yes, I absolutely do feel safe of sending my kid to school. And I think it's cruel that we go and force students to have to go and wear masks at school, especially at the younger ages where they need that interaction. They need to see other people's faces. They need to be able to talk to their students. They need to be able to experience those things. And we've done a lot of detrimental harm to our young people in America by forcing them to wear masks and taking away a very, very important aspect of their adolescence that helps them grow up.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
cool.
Well,
thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
Clarifying your position.
thank you for giving me the opportunity, Don. Cool. We can agree to disagree. The show would not be any fun if we agreed on everything.
Okay.
Thanks, Don.
Okay. Have a great year and congratulations to Sam.
Oh, thanks, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Goodbye.
Bye.
It was like a whole new world.
It was
like a whole new world.
Wow, it is a new year.
It is a new year. I feel like I grown up a little bit. Didn't yell at him at all.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Sam.
Wow.
I know, it's new me.
It's a new job.
All right, let's get into Sam's Top 5.
Number 1.
Angela Jenkins has been elected the Minneapolis Council President in a pretty historic move, at least according to the Star Tribune. Minneapolis City Council members did unanimously select her as their president on Monday. A historic decision as she becomes the first openly transgender black woman to take the post. Yet the 8-5 vote to elect Lene Palisano as the vice president previewed the ideological differences that the council, which includes 7 newcomers, we'll have to navigate as the city continues to reckon with the aftermath of George Floyd's killing and the economic hardships exacerbated by the coronavirus pandemic. In remarks offered shortly after the vote, Jenkins highlighted the many types of diversity, racial, religious, generational, that exists on the council, which for the first time includes a majority of people of color. And she emphasized the importance of collaborating as they seek to serve residents trying to heal from many traumatic events that have occurred over the past 2 years.
And I have, my bar is set so low for the city council at this point in time. Yeah. New voices coming in, the dissenting voices that are already on the council. Thankfully, you know, it does, and again, you can kind of couple this with what we talked about earlier, where there are, apart from Don in Burnsville, a lot of people on the left who are beginning to realize what a lot of people on the right had realized a long time ago. And again, it's not a dig. I mean, I'm not necessarily trying to make it a dig. I'm just an observation. I think a lot of this comes down to people who only consume, you know, certain aspects of mainstream media and are only told so many things. And those aspects of mainstream media are now also coming to the truth of what we're dealing with when it comes to Omicron. My point in all of this is the same thing is happening when it's coming to the rising crime, or the crime that's risen. I didn't say rising, the crime that's risen, the level of crime that we're dealing with right now is that, you know, once the truth gets out there, you know, once it gets to the magnitude that it can't be ignored anymore, where even watching your mainstream leftist news, even they're covering it, then finally things are starting to get done. So that's the only hope that I have for the crime situation in Minneapolis, is the fact that we do have individuals out there now that are looking to try to go and change some of the aspects of what have caused this, which actually brings us to
number two.
The Hennepin County Attorney has announced a new partnership to address rising crime. Mike Freeman announced plans on Monday for a new partnership to address this crime from Fox 9. The partnership is being called MN Heals 2.0, which stands for Minnesota Hope, Education, Law, and Safety, according to a news release. It's a refresh of a program first introduced by Freeman in 1997 during his second term as county attorney. And as the rise of carjackings continue in Minneapolis and the metro at large, Minneapolis city leaders are promising some action through this. This latest plan combines the efforts of mayors, county commissioners, law enforcement, and businesses and faith leaders to create a private-public partnership. It comes amid growing calls for his office to impose harsher penalties on crime. And he says that the MN Heals 2.0 should focus on the most serious of violent crimes, suburban as well as urban, with a particular emphasis on recent violent juvenile carjackings.
I hope the program worked the first time. I hope it works the second time. I'm encouraged by the current interim police chief in Minneapolis saying they want to hire more officers. I hope they find those officers. And again, you know, this kind of shows that there's, you know, that this problem can only be ignored for so long. And I don't want to give them too much credit. Don't misunderstand. We're heading into an election year now, so they have to go and deal with this problem, which is the unfortunate truth of it. Right. I'm glad they're dealing with it. Okay, so I don't want to push back too hard on it, but the reality is they're heading into an election year, and they need to deal with it, for crying out loud. And I'm, side note really quick, this has been a running joke between Sam and I for so long that I honestly don't know how it's pronounced anymore.
Which one?
Wyzetta. Right?
It is Wyzetta.
Wyzetta, thank you. She's always screw me up and say Wayzata.
The running joke is that from the moment that John started working here, I told him it was Wayzata.
She can't, and now every time I want to go and mention it, I'm always questioning myself.
I've tricked myself into thinking that Hamlin is pronounced Hamlin.
I know. So Wyzetta. I saw a story this morning of there was a mom in Wyzetta at some sporting event and got carjacked at the sporting event, for crying out loud.
Wow.
I'm glad they're doing something, and I'm glad they're addressing it. It sucks that it takes an election year for them to wake up to begin to realize they should have been doing something about this last year. But, you know, hey, it's better, you know, better late than never.
Number three.
Speaking of better late than never.
Health expert says the end of the pandemic is coming soon. I'll believe it when I see it. Apparently,
we're all going to get it, so it doesn't really matter at this point in time.
University of Michigan immunologist, bleh, I can't say that word very well, Dr. Jim Wayzata. Baker, close enough, says his prediction is based on the cycle of an average pandemic, because this is totally average. When we talk about pandemic, this huge wave of infection that goes around the world, we usually see a lot of different phases. The more people are immune to the virus, the more people have a vaccine, the less likely they're going to have a serious effect from this. So he says, as a result, the pandemic will soon be burning out. He said in the 1917 flu pandemic, after the initial burst of infections and deaths, two waves of deaths followed, each one less impactful. That's how pandemics end. Two echo waves, each being less and less significant. It is because in each wave, the most susceptible individuals have been killed off as the rest of the population develops immunity. Yeesh.
It could have been... Well, I don't even want to say that. I don't want to say it could have been worse. Let me go a different route on this. It didn't have to be this way. There was probably no way it was going to... This whole thing was going to play out any other way than it did. Okay, I just with the political makeup in the country, because of all the things that we've been talking about the past, you know, few years with social networking and the way that information is disseminated, the number of voices that are out there with varying opinions, how politicized everything gets in society, there was probably no way to avoid what happened and how this whole thing played out. But I will say this, I am very much convinced that if we had not gone the route, if we had actually embraced what this country stands for in freedom and liberty from the get-go, I'm fine with the 2 weeks to slow the spread as we kind of understand what it is we're dealing with. But we knew early on who the most vulnerable were, and that's who should have been singularly focused on, while the rest of the country immediately, within a month, knew what we were dealing with and how to best protect themselves. And we should have just left it up to every single private employer, every single business, and every single person to decide how they wanted to go and deal with this pandemic. Because I'm convinced at this point in time, this thing was going to play out and was going to spread, and the people that are going to get infected were going to get infected regardless of all the lockdowns. It's clear they didn't work. People understand they didn't work. And all it did was exacerbate the pandemic. We probably could have been through it by now. It probably would have mutated a lot sooner, and we could have been heading into this year with a much different scenario and actually being on the backside of it. Now, the good news is it looks like that we are a few months out from actually being on the backside of it, but we should have been there a heck of a lot sooner.
Number four.
The Maple Grove AMC Theater has abruptly closed.
Man, I'm bummed.
One you normally go to?
I not normally, but I did go to this theater. It just makes me sad. This was it's in the story. I didn't realize they hadn't done any upgrades, but I liked this theater. I've seen several movies there. I saw Empire Strikes Back there. I saw The Rise of Skywalker there. I saw Last Jedi there.
Mm-hmm.
This bumps me out. And then Maple Grove doesn't have a theater now. It sucks.
From CCX Media, city officials had been tipped off by a developer several months ago that a closure was imminent, but they thought it wasn't going to happen until the spring. So the Maple Grove's Director of Community and Economic Development, Joe Hogaboom, said, "I personally am not pleased that we're left without a movie theater in Maple Grove." He said, "Early on, when we heard that there were troubles at the theater and that there was a threat of closure, we did try to do some reaching out to other types of theaters that are in the area to see if they'd be of interest in us, and really didn't get a lot of traction in that." The site itself was deemed a nuisance property by the city in 2019 due to concerns over large potholes and trash in the parking lot. Management eventually took care of those issues, but they never invested in the interior improvements like other theaters around the metro have. And then after the pandemic hit, apparently the theater couldn't quite recover. This guy's quoted in the story saying they were closed for a while during the initial months of the pandemic. Never really seemed to rebound from that in terms of hours of operation.
Yeah, it's just such a bummer. I guess there's already plans to replace it with something else. You know, it just means that my theater that I go to over in Coon Rapids is going to be way more busy now. It's going to be a lot more crowded now, so I hope they have more showings. It just, you know, you wonder... You know, you do wonder, you know, what the future of cinema is going to end up looking like, and how much of this is just sort of the start of what we're going to see. I'm more and more convinced that we're going to see a return, and you wouldn't know about this, Sam, but like when I was growing up, I grew up at a really young age in an era to where the multiplex really boomed. Prior to the multiplex, there were theaters, big screens, maybe just a couple of screens, but just a couple of screens where they showcased the big blockbuster films.
Okay.
And, you know, they were very special movie houses. And then, you know, through the course of the blockbusters, you know, as they began to sort of, you know, proliferate, you know, theaters expanded, we got multiplexes, and we ended up with all these, you know, multiplex screens all around the country. And I'm getting the feeling now with streaming, you're going to see the shift back down to where a lot of the content will be going to streaming services, and only your big mega blockbusters will end up in theaters that'll have maybe one or two screens to showcase these big films.
What I like to see is when you see a movie theater that does do some remodeling and reconfiguring, and they end up becoming a little bit of a destination in and of themselves, because not only will they have movie theaters, they'll also have a bar, and the one in Monticello has movie theaters, a bar, and axe throwing. So, like, all within one building. And I like seeing movie theaters that are kind of like bringing in new things. And the one in St. Michael will have comedians come in and use their space for other things. I think that's cool. I like seeing movie theaters using their space for more than just movies. And I feel like you almost have to do that to continue bringing people in, because people can just watch movies at home.
Well, and I think right now what we're going to be seeing too is that with Omicron, in the next few months, we're already seeing a lot of movies that are being shifted again.
I know.
And I think theaters are going to have to survive one more round of fewer people going. You're not going to see the mandates to close them down, but you're going to have fewer people that are going to the theater. So I think the theaters are going to have to survive one more round of fewer people attending. But hopefully that'll change in the near future. All right, we do have one more item to get to in Sam's Top 5. Of course, we're running behind. Leave it to me.
Oops.
I was so just going to, I was like, I'm going to be on time all morning long.
Don threw us off.
And I've already, it is, yeah, just right.
It is Don.
That was a fine phone call with Don in Burnsville, but I will blame him for that. So we will get to the last item in Sam's Top 5, and then we will be talking with a University of Minnesota student. Goes to school, chemical engineering, and the university is not allowing him or other students to continue their education that they've been working towards unless they forego their principles with these University of Minnesota mandates, and they are planning on doing something about it to let their voices be heard. We'll finish up with Sam's Top 5, and we will talk with Lucius La from Boise. We'll see if I got that right or not. We'll ask him next here on Twin Cities News Talk.